I've recently been talking about the things, the qualities we should bring to this earth. Qualities like love and joy and peace and kindness. And somewhere along the line, it dawned on me that these are all listed as fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And you know what's listed right after love, joy, and peace, and right before kindness? In between peace and kindness is a challenging quality for most of us. It's called patience. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Then it says patience. Then kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're going to give some thought this morning to what the Bible says about patience. Because if we want to shine the light of Jesus into this dark world, we can't do it without that particular quality, patience. God doesn't give the option to skip over patience as we consider Christ-like qualities. It's not an elective in the school of walking in the ways of Jesus. It's a required subject. God has a way of putting us in the school of patience in one way or another, or rather, usually in more ways than one. So let's start our consideration of patience with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. And if 1 Corinthians chapter 13 rings a bell, it's because that's the great love chapter that we've recently considered. Love. What is love? People can imagine all sorts of things about what love is, what love looks like. But in the 1 Corinthians 13, we have God's perspective of what love looks like in practice. And it's interesting that when the Apostle Paul just begins to describe love, practical love, here is the very first thing he mentions when he begins his list of love is this and love is that. Right out of the gate, he says, love is patient. Love is patient. If that is so, by way of contrast, we have to say that love is not hasty. Love is not impulsive. It doesn't say love just reacts emotionally. And especially it doesn't say love is hot-tempered. It doesn't say anything like that. And note, patience is listed right alongside kindness as a quality of love. Imagine love and kindness without patience. Does that make sense? Impatient love and kindness? If our love is impatient love, it's not really love, is it? If our kindness is impatient kindness, is it really kindness at all? Not really. Patience, like it or not, is an essential ingredient of a life of love, a life of emulating the love of our Savior. I came across this description of the meaning of that word we translate as patience in many verses in the New Testament. It says that word conveys the idea of being patient and long-suffering, particularly in the face of provocation or difficulty. It implies a deliberate restraint of anger and a willingness to endure hardship without retaliation, reflecting on the patience of God Himself towards humanity. Unquote. Well, that's a very thoughtful description of patience. Here's another verse to consider. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." You might recall that I quoted that verse last week when we talked about kindness, useful kindness, and to put on kindness like we would a garment, so that when people see us coming, they see kindness coming. Well, they should also see patience coming. An impatient person has a certain look to them. Maybe an anxious look, maybe an angry look. It's not a look you want to be around. It's not a happy look. It's not an attractive look. And there is a distinct look on the face of an impatient person, or any one of us when we're being impatient. If we have a problem, do we really want to tell an impatient person about it? Not likely. An impatient person has their mind on something other than you. Best to keep on moving. So also, patience has a look of its own. It's got a very pleasant look. Patience is attractive. Just as being in the presence of an impatient person gives us an uncomfortable feeling and makes us want to go somewhere else, so also, being in the presence of a patient person just makes you want to stay a while. Now, who should we show patience to? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Patient with everyone? Do I have faith for that? Now, of course, there is a time to reach the end of our patience with certain people and situations. Some people are toxic to us. Some people are abusive. There's some people that we should be running from. We shouldn't be showing patience to harmful people. Even God, as patient as he is, will come to an end of his patience with people. But we should always lead with patience and maintain patience until such a time as patience with someone or something is no longer prudent. Another thing I came across in my exploration of the word, biblical patience is not to be confused with paralysis or weakness. It is long-suffering from a position of security, knowing that in all things God will work for our good. But in practical ways, just how should patience express itself? In more ways than I could list here, but by way of application, I'll mention a few ways our patience should manifest, like being slow to anger. Anger is what we show when we're short of patience. Anger is usually antithetical to patience. Proverbs 15, verse 18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Being slow to anger is an act of patience, and rather than stirring up contention, it quiets it. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, "Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools." Being quick to anger is a foolish thing. And I'm sure we all regret things we've said and done in impatience, and especially in anger. Proverbs 14, verse 29, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." In Proverbs 16, verse 32, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." To conquer a city, well, that sounds like a mighty enterprise. Sounds like a powerful person that can conquer a city. But Solomon, who knows well what it is like to conquer a city because he did that, he knows it's a mightier work to rule one's own heart than a whole territory. That's where the real might is. Here's another very practical verse. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brethren." Now note that he starts with the words, "know this." In other words, listen up. I'm about to say something very important that you must know. When it comes to things we should know as believers, there are lesser important things and more important things. Well, this is an essential thing to know. Know this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. unquote. That's a model of patience. Human nature wants to speak when we should just be listening. It says, be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Human nature wants to be quick to become angry, even before all the facts are in. But patience gets the facts right first. We've all misjudged things and people because we just heard a bit of something, and in our outrage, we jumped to conclusions. We did not have the patience to gather all the facts before we reacted. Well, patience protects us from foolish decisions, especially when our anger is aroused. Patience protects us from foolish decisions even when we're not angry. We make a life-altering decision before we patiently thought the matter out, did the research, sought the advice of others, or sought the will of God. That's a recipe for trouble. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. God is not a Coke machine that gives out his blessings at the push of a button. We should show patience in seeking him, seeking his wisdom, seeking his fellowship, seeking his direction, seeking his healing. In all these things, we should be patient. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. It takes strength to wait for the Lord. It takes strength to pray. We want to walk away from prayer too soon. It says, be strong and take heart. Take heart. Cheer up, you who are waiting on the Lord for something, for the wait is well worth it. Ecclesiastes 8:3, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Well, if that's good wisdom for earthly kings, how much more for the King of Kings? Why not be hasty to leave his presence? Well, maybe he has something more to say to us. Maybe he has blessings for us that we didn't even think about when we came into his presence. And my personal favorite daily devotional verse, Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Where else do we need to show patience? Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Patient in affliction. What helps us do that is the attitude of Paul, who himself suffered much affliction. He was beaten with rods, he was flogged numerous times, he was stoned, he was imprisoned. Yet he says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Paul could consider his afflictions light and momentary because he had a firm understanding of the glorious eternity that awaited him. So whatever afflictions we suffer now, pains of the body or pains of the heart, in light of what is to come, they are truly light and momentary. It's good news that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That tells us where to get patience when we run short of it. In conclusion, it's clear to me that the kind of patience we're called to express as representatives of our patient Lord is simply just not in us, but it is in him. And we can go to him and ask for more. The one last verse, and one last verse to consider, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide. Oh, life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come